2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. It is Father's Day. What is a father? How do we see fathers in our faith, in our home, in society as a whole? Let's start out with how fathers are viewed in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19, paraphrased, says this: Our earthly fathers guide, teach, and correct us, and we respect them. Even more, shouldn't we be guided, taught, and corrected by the Father of our spirits? The Father entry in a copy of the 1829 Webster's Dictionary says the following, and I have to add, think of how much different the Father entry would be in a dictionary you might pick up today. The 1829 Webster says this about father. Definition 1, he who begets a child. Definition 2, the first ancestor, progenitor of a race or family. Adam was the first progenitor of the human race. Abraham was the father of the Israelites. I'll skip over a few. Definition number 5, one who feeds and supports and exercises paternal care over another. God is called our Father in heaven. Definition 6, he who creates, invents, makes, or composes anything of worth. An author, founder, composer, creator, director, or instructor. God as creator is the father of all mankind. I'll skip a few other entries here. Definition number 9, the appellation of the first person in the adorable Trinity. Quote, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19, close quote. You don't see scripture quoted too much in dictionaries these days. And society as a whole sees fathers differently than people and society as a whole saw them in 1829. A quick search of scholarly and popular websites on women and women's rights and equality yielded these comments. Quote, dear men, I'm sure you know all this, but in case you're too dumb, I'll remind you, if you look at all the problems faced by women, sexual abuse, domestic violence, workplace discrimination, unsafe streets, etc., the common denominator is men and the ideas of masculinity. Close quote. Here's another one. Quote, we want to dismantle all masculinity because men and masculinity amounts to anger, violence, and the inability to be emotionally vulnerable. Patriarchy is evil. Close quote. Here's the last one I'll read. Quote, I will not stop saying men are trash. Close quote. Obviously, men are not quite thought of in the esteem in today's society the way they were in 1829. Today's society has some really good goals. They want, meaning society as a whole, equality for women. Women are now significantly more than half of all college students. Women are more than half of those accepted into master's and doctoral programs. Since 1963, it has been illegal to pay women in the United States less than men for the same work. Most countries have similar laws. Why did this happen in the U.S.? Well, in 63, Congress passed the Equal Pay Act, which makes it illegal for employers to pay women lower wages than men for equal work on jobs requiring the same effort and responsibility. Society has tried so hard to be fair to women that in many ways men have sadly become marginalized. The roles of fathers have been diminished. Society has elevated women as the superior parent, thus marginalizing the role of fathers, which has sadly damaged the importance of the traditional family with both a father and mother. The number of children born to unwed women rose 27% in the last dozen or so years. Fathers in today's society often seem optional. And consider this. If a young man or older man sees his role as at best optional, how important can he see what he does every day, whether at home or at work? And how much will he value his contributions? Not much. These ideas seem occasionally to even creep into our faith, even though they shouldn't. We should remember President David O. McKay's wise statement, quote, "No other success can compensate for failure in the home," close quote. One of the best things the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and other traditional religious denominations do is support traditional families and the importance of both a father and a mother. Society as a whole has not grasped the point that for one person to succeed, another one does not need to fail. For one race or ethnic group to be elevated, another one need not be lowered. For women to be elevated, men don't need to be marginalized. For mothers to be appreciated, fathers do not need to be devalued. Why is this so important? Marginalizing the role of fathers has had disastrous consequences. Study after study, to the chagrin of most of the researchers trying to prove the opposite, has demonstrated that on average, children are happier, more well-adjusted, do better in school, are less likely to be involved in crime, alcohol, drugs, and other immoral activities when they come from homes with both a mother and a father. Not two fathers, not two mothers, but a mother and a father. That doesn't mean a non-traditional family cannot be successful. It doesn't mean a single-parent household cannot be successful. President Dallin Oaks was raised in a home without a father. His father died when he was very young. I can think of no one more wonderful and successful in his outlook on life and his closeness to God than President Oaks. But keep in mind some significant statistics. The best single predictor of poverty is whether a child is raised in a home with only one parent. The statistics are alarming here. 6 out of 7 children born to a single parent, 93% of the time the mother and raised by them, live below the poverty line. Media plays an ongoing and disastrous role in the marginalizing of men. Many TV commercials portray men as dumb, forgetful, liars, couch potatoes, or unambitious. It's one thing to laud the advancement and education of women, but that should not be at the expense of men by demeaning them in society. Society tries to make men and women exactly equal, yet every child over the age of 2 has figured out men and women are not the same. Different does not mean one is less important. Society should understand we should all understand that divine concept. Women and men have different roles, different tendencies, different ways to approach life. I'm going to focus some more on that important principle when we come back from our break. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. We're talking today about the role of fathers because it's Father's Day.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. It's Father's Day. So my topic is fathers, how they are treated in society today, how we might make them portrayed in a better light, and how that would be better not just for fathers and men, but for everyone. If you have a question or comment about this or any other program, or just a general religious question, or a specific one for that matter, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. Martin S, like Sam, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. When we took our break, I mentioned about Genesis, that women and men have different roles and tendencies. In Genesis, we read that Eve was created to be an helpmeet for Adam. This is the King James Version. The word helpmeet is not a great translation of the underlying Hebrew word. The underlying Hebrew word literally means set against. But that phrase in our society has a negative connotation. What Genesis is trying to tell us is that women have a different view, a different perspective on things than men do. Conversely, men have a different view, a different perspective on things than women do. Together, both of these views, a women's view and a men's view, create synergy capable of a far, far greater achievement than that of which either alone could possibly be capable. Fathers are fast disappearing in homes all over the world. Nearly 40% of children in the United States, for example, live in a home without a father, according to the most recent U.S. Census. The problem is especially pronounced in black families, where the figure increases to over half, which is tragic and startling. The most recent census also recorded the fact that although several hundred thousand new families with children were counted, the number of two-parent households decreased by well over 2 million, and nearly 10 million children in this country live without one parent or the other. These astonishing figures can be compared, unfavorably so, with 1960, when just 11% of all American children lived in homes without fathers. Feminist groups have fought against the need for men. More recently, LGBTQI organizations have come up with an even more radical idea that there is no such thing as men and women at all, but a continuum loosely described by the LGBTQI acronym itself. The Biden-Harris administration, state legislatures, and courts have, without any legitimate science, brought this idea of construct into the world with legislatively disastrous consequences. Women's sporting events in high school and college, after decades of effort to bring women's sports into a semblance of equality with men's sports, have now been hijacked by LGBTQI equality ideas. For example, the winners in girls and women's sports are in many states now dominated by girls and women who used to be boys and men before they identified otherwise. The Utah legislature has now made it a requirement for Utah courts to order a new birth certificate change with a different sex on it to anyone who simply petitions the court, who doesn't have some kind of improper idea behind that change. TV shows, men and women watch every day, portray men as bad, dumb, foolish liars and women as good, smart, wise truth tellers. It's no accident that the longest running and one of the most popular TV shows is The Simpsons, which began in 1989 and is now in its 23rd season. The dad Homer and son Bart are dumb, lazy, angry, violent, and mischievous klutzes. The mom Marge, daughter Lisa, and baby Maggie are smart, talented, wise, altruistic, and good. These notions are found in other TV shows as well and in television commercials everywhere. A better view might be the one espoused by Elder Christofferson in one of his recent conference addresses, in which he noted, quote, "Fathers are a fundamental part of the divine plan of happiness, and I want to raise a voice of encouragement for those who are striving to fill well that calling. To praise and encourage fatherhood and fathers is not to shame or discount anyone. I simply focus today on the good that men can do in the highest of masculine roles, that of husband and father," close quote. Elder Christofferson went on to note that fatherhood is something that is extremely important. There's a fabulous book that I highly recommend by David Blankenhorn, the title of which is Fatherless America, in which you find this statement, quote, "Today American society is fundamentally divided and ambivalent about the fatherhood idea. Some people don't even remember it. Others are offended by it. Others, including more than a few family scholars, neglect it or disdain it. Many others are not especially opposed to it, nor are they especially committed to it. Many people wish we could act on it, but believe that our society simply no longer can or will," close quote. As a church, we believe in fathers. We believe in the idea of a man who puts his family first. We believe that by divine design, fathers are supposed to preside over families. They're supposed to love their families, be righteous and good and responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection required for their families. We believe that in good, complementary family duties, fathers and mothers can help each other as equal partners. We believe that far from being superfluous, fathers, like mothers, are unique, invaluable, and absolutely irreplaceable. A few final thoughts. The perfect divine expression of fatherhood is our Heavenly Father. His character and attributes include goodness and perfect love. The work and glory of our Father in heaven are the development, happiness, and eternal life of us, His children. Fathers in this fallen world can claim nothing comparable to God and the fatherhood He represents, but at the best, each of those in this world who are fathers are capable of doing wonderfully good deeds and being good fathers. For men, fatherhood exposes us to our own weaknesses, but also to the greatest joys, and demonstrates to us the ways that we can improve. Our Heavenly Father's greatest gift to us is His Son, who said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Fathers who have that kind of love in their own hearts lay down their lives each day by laboring in the service of their family members and supporting them. Please, in prayer today, thank your Heavenly Father for all your blessings. Please do all you can to elevate women and mothers. Please do what you can to elevate men and fathers on this Father's Day and always. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.